who are you going to bring an Easton? Amen? Amen? Are y'all awake this morning?
Yes.
Someone say Jesus.
Jesus.
If you are fasting, you have till the end of this week. Amen? Let's give all those people a hand, 40 days. Amen? If you are starting to kind of come out of it a little slowly, do it slow. Your stomach is going to be like, what's that when you start eating? Don't start like eating, because it will reject. It will give your food to Heisman if you don't not careful. Amen? Amen. So, anyway, very excited about today. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Let's see your Bibles. North County, let's see your Bibles. Say word.
Word.
One more time, say word.
Word.
Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Acts, the book of Acts, El Libro de Hechos, capítulo 6, chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Amen. How many of y'all want to be Mr. Rogers? You're a beautiful day in the neighborhood person, amen? Glad you're not living in New York. They got snow yesterday again in New York. Lord, we thank you so much that we live in San Diego. Lord, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for your love. And Lord, we pray that you would encourage us today. Holy Spirit, we pray you fill us. Espíritu Santo, lleno y nuestros corazones de con su amor de Dios y poder. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your love for us. And Lord, we pray that you encourage us to follow you, to serve you better, to be more obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. When I first got saved in 1984, I started going to my first Christian church. I grew up in a Catholic church, not that it wasn't Christian, but it was different than non-denominational Christian. And I started meeting the pastors and learning about their testimonies that they were really regular guys. They didn't go to seminary. They just Bible learned, had done ministry for years. And in my mind, those were the ministers to me. Because I had come out of, when I was a kid, going to Catholic church, you had the nuns and the priests, and then everybody else went to church. And then as I continued in the church, it was called Horizon Christian Fellowship here in San Diego, I started meeting men and women of God in the church. And God started to reveal to me that the people who were doing ministry weren't only the people on staff, that there were other people in the congregation that were just as filled with God, just as filled with the Holy Spirit, just as knowledgeable of the Bible, sometimes even more, and doing amazing things. And mentally, I had a block because I didn't expect that. You know, I was at the time playing professional football, so the professional football players on the team were the only professionals, and everybody else was a wannabe. And so when I went got involved in the church, I figured the professionals were on staff and everybody else was a wannabe. Come to find out, it wasn't that case. That there were just as many qualified people, actually there were more qualified people off staff because there were so many more of them. And then there were qualified people actually on staff. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God has given some to be apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so they can train the saints or equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So it's not the people on staff necessarily doing all the work of the ministry, they're to equip and mobilize the people doing the work of the ministry. We have the same thing here. We have thousands of people in this church who serve in our community. Over 15,000 people are served every month or so outside the building by volunteers, okay? So as we continue our series called The Life, everyone say The Life.
The Life.
Everyone say The Life.
The Life,
The Life is a study on the book of Acts, and it's the acts of the Holy Spirit through regular people. And one of the characteristics of the early church, the book of Acts is the story of the birth of the church. Everyone say birth. The book of Acts is a 30-year history of the birth of the church. Last week we talked about when the Holy Spirit came and 3,000 people got saved on Pentecost. That was the first day of the church. The Holy Spirit was sent out for the first time. 3,000 people got saved, and then those thousands of people went back to their countries to spread the gospel. And there were certain characteristics of the beginning of the church. One was the Holy Spirit working through regular people. Another was persecution. Actually, people giving cut to the heart sermons, Peter, Stephen, Paul, etc., preaching sermons to people that cut their heart. Then there was persecution. If you were a Christian and you walk with God, you're going to get persecuted. Anyone say persecution? There was explosive growth in the church. That was another characteristic of the book of Acts. 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, 5,000 people at another time when Peter preached, thousands of people getting saved at a time, disciples multiplying, churches growing fast was another characteristic of the early church. But one of the characteristics that we're going to focus on today was God using regular people through whom he would turn the world upside down. Now, when you read the Bible, you read it for several reasons. You read it for history, to learn what happened, but you also want to read it to learn about what can happen in your life. Because the same God in the Bible is the same God you and I have. And so when you see God using regular people to do amazing things in and through them, our prayer is that you would say, God, I want that to be me. And that you don't come to church as a spectator to hear about it and then go back and say, that was good for them. Or that was good for the people on staff. No, it can be good for you. It can be good for you. Matter of fact, in a few weeks, we're going to talk about the conversion of the Apostle Paul, and we're going to have some former gang members up here on stage that we're going to interview, because we're going to compare these gang members to the Apostle Paul. And we're not going to tell you why. We're just going to have you guess. And if you want to get a little head start, read chapter 8 and chapter 9 of Acts, and you'll get kind of an idea. But the reason being is that all these people in the Bible, you know, especially Peter, Philip, these guys aren't professional ministers. They were just filled with God, and God said, go. Matter of fact, when Peter and Peter was preaching before the religious Jewish officials, they said, you know what? We perceive that you're untrained. And we perceive that you're uneducated. Now imagine if you went and presented the gospel or made a presentation somewhere and the official said, you know what? You seem like you don't know what you're doing, and you seem like you're kind of ignorant. That's what they said. You're not a professional. But, everyone say but. This is so important. We perceive that you've been with Jesus. Everyone say, I've been with Jesus. This is so important. Because if you've been with God, and by the way, it's not that you've been with God and then you're not with God. It's that you've been with God and now you're with God. Okay? Are you following me? I'll say it again. If you see someone who is light skin or Caucasian, what we call white. Because technically white is not white, it's just really light brown. Not for real, you could look it up. That's just a little something you can look up later. But if you see someone who you know to be white, and all of a sudden they're tan, you would say, you've been to Hawaii. Are you following me? So you've been somewhere that made a change in your life. Are you feeling what I'm saying? And so when they say it seems like you've been with God, it's like you've been with God, he did something to you. Amen. There's something about you that you have that you didn't get from just being here. Now, you could have got the tan from La Jolla, by the way. That's true. I mean, I ain't trying to say we can't get a tan here. But you know what I'm saying. You see someone, a week later, they're like, blam, they look like all brown. And before they were like, you know, like albino. And then all of a sudden, they're brown. So you must have been somewhere, you know, or you sprayed it on or something. So they said to these guys, you've been with it. So in the story we're going to look at, Stephen, I want to say Stephen. Stephen is a guy who God is going to pick and do something mighty through. Okay, let's read. Verse 1, chapter 6. Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Okay, let's stop right there. So we have 12 disciples or apostles. Then Judas kills himself. Then they get Matthias. Now they have 12 again. No matter what, in Acts chapter 1 or 2, it says they have 120. And then Pentecost came, and all these people were getting saved, and all these disciples were multiplying. But the Greek-speaking Jews, the Hellenists, were saying, you guys aren't taking care of our widows. All throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament, the church's responsibility, Old Testament, God's people's responsibility, was to take care of the poor. And so the Greek-speaking Jews, non-Hebrew Jews, were complaining that their widows were being discriminated against. And yes, there's discrimination in the Bible because these people are not perfect. And they're saying, you're not taking care of our widows. And so they complained. You said you have all these disciples, but you're not taking care of our widows. Now, it's very important for us to understand when your church grows and your ministry grows, you have to whom much is given, much is required. So, yeah, this is what they said to them. Your church is growing, all these people, but you're not taking care of your business. Your business is to take care of us. Okay? And God instituted that in the Old Testament when he had them give tithes, and part of the tithes was to take care of the poor. Okay? So look what it says. It says in verse 7, the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. In other words, our ministry is the ministry of the word of God. We're not going to go serve tables and give up the word of God. Now, there is a distinction between the ministry of the word and the ministry of serving tables. In other words, some people are going to preach, teach, and pray as their focus. Other people are going to be out in the street as their focus. Other people are going to physically be involved with the poor or certain segments of the poor as their focus. That's why we have 120 ministries or so out in this church. For everybody has a different focus. But it would be unfair to say, okay, you got you up there who's preaching, we want you to not preach and go over here and take care of the poor. No, we're going to leverage all of us to do everything. Now, some people have in their mind mentality, let's get the guy up front to do it. That's not a biblical mentality perspective. All of y'all have been called and gifted by God to do something specific. And if all of us do what we're called to, what we're gifted to do specifically, so much work will get done. We'll talk about that in a few minutes here. Let's keep reading. And this says, verse 3, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. We are not going to take ourselves away from prayer and the ministry of the word to do that. You get other people to do that. Is that elitism? Absolutely not. Some people ask me, will I counsel? No. Now, I have friends, of course, I'm going to talk to them, but I'm not going to, that's not my calling. So why would you want me to do what God's not called me to do? And why would I ask you to do what God's not called you to do? How many of y'all hate math? Man, you are the worst person to ask to be an accountant. It's just wrong. You won't do a good job. No one's going to be happy. You're going to be miserable. The numbers are going to be wrong, and it's going to be a mess. And then someone's going to put a guilt trip on you and say, you're not being a servant. I'm supposed to serve where God wants me to serve. You're supposed to serve where God wants you to serve, where God has equipped you to serve so you can serve with effectiveness. Okay? So if someone tries to put a guilt trip on you, say, Lord, you wouldn't try to eat soup with a fork, would you? You wouldn't try to cut a steak with a spoon. If you're a fork, don't let someone make you eat to serve you soup with you. No, go over there and pick up some pasta. Okay? If you're a spoon, go eat some soup. But if someone's saying, I want to use you to eat soup, and you're a fork, say, listen, I'm not a servant. I want to serve where God is going to make me effective. Okay, look what it says next. Verse 5. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen. Everyone say Stephen. A man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And they set them before the apostles, and they prayed and laid hands on all of them. And look at what happened as a result. The word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly. Do you know what? And let's keep reading. In Jerusalem, and a great many of priests got saved, became obedient. The priests were not saved. So here's what happened. Here's what they did. They said, listen, if we take these 7 men and put them out to take care of this other business, and we can take care of our business, the ministry explodes. If all of us in here did our part, this is the first century church, by the way. Whenever these situations came up, we learned by how they dealt with them. And that there's a balance of power. God has made available to all of you power. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You shall receive power, all of us, when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and we shall be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth," basically everywhere. So I'm going to give all of y'all power, but the gospel is going to be most effective when all the power I give you is used according to the purpose I gave it. So if everybody in here says, "Well, God has given me power, what do you want me to do with it?" I want you to go over there and I want you to help the homeless. I want you to go over there and mentor some foster care kids in foster care. I'm going to read some stats to you. We have about, this church is about 20,000 people. We have about 12 to 14 that come on Sunday, but not everybody's here on Sunday. So in general, about 20,000 people that come on a Sunday in a month's time. And we have 13,000 that listen to radio, about 8,000 watch TV, et cetera. So let's just hypothetically say 15,000 people gave. Well, let me say this. Last year, we gave 235,000 hours of volunteer service, this church, $4 million. Okay, and that really wasn't all of it. That was just a segment that we applied to what the city was asking for, the county was asking for. 250,000 hours, just about, $4 million value. We were trying to figure out what would it take to do 1 million hours a year, which would be about $12 million of volunteer service. It would take 15,000 people doing 1 hour a week. Everyone say 1 hour. Now, I want you to think. Now, if I say, "We're going to do 1 million hours," you're like, "Oh, 1 million, hang on, 1 million. Why are you going to be such a big number?" Okay, forget the million. Can you do one? Can you do 1 hour a week? Or can you do 5 hours in one day, and that's your month quota? Just go to a convalescent home and sit there for 5 hours and talk to somebody who's the age of your grandmother. I'm serious. That's it. You think of how many people could get help if everybody just did an hour. That's it. And that ain't a big deal. If you're sitting there going, "That's a lot," there's something wrong with you. How many hours do you watch the same repeated SportsCenter? Ladies, can I get an amen? Let me say this. How many hours of the same repeated segment of SportsCenter do you watch every day? Not a week. I'm asking an hour. Okay, it takes you an hour to get there. You do an hour. It takes you an hour to get home. Today's all on us. 3 hours. That's it. 1 million. Bam. Is the city going to be different? The county going to be different? Oh, most definitely. I want to read some stats to you about the needs we have here in the city. In the county, 3,400 kids in foster care, about 10,000 homeless people, 500,000 people living under the poverty line. 500,000. What's the poverty line? For a single person, $11,000 a year. $22,000 income per year per couple. We have about 8,000 volunteers here. I'm talking doubling that and making 1 hour a week. A lot of those 8,000 are people doing two different jobs. Okay. There's 120,000 people living in convalescent homes. Think about it, or group homes. Think about these people. They're stuck. Y'all can't fathom being in a convalescent home because you're active, you're young, you go do what you want to do. But there may come a day when you're stuck, and most of the people you grew up with are dead. And you have in your mind all the things you used to do. You used to ski, water ski, scuba dive, play football, baseball, and crochet, whatever. Or you're still crocheting, whatever it is you used to do. And now you're stuck. You know what you could do as a younger person? And I say younger, anybody who's not in the convalescent home, even if you're that age but you're not living there, go visit. Go visit. We got ministry, by the way, that does that. They had over 100 elderly people get saved in 1 year. That's bigger than the average church. They're a captive audience. All you got to do is say, "Lord, I'm available." Look what it says here. Verse 8. Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. And some of those who belonged to the synagogue of freedmen, the freedmen were descendants of Jews who were taken captive by the Romans, and of the Syrians and of Alexandrians and those of Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Peter. Now, this whole chapter is pretty long. We don't have time to go through it. But what happened was Peter, this guy who's serving tables, taking care of the widows, all of a sudden, he became a target of criticism. Why? Because he was a mighty man of God. When we ask people to go volunteer and we ask y'all to do something, it doesn't mean that you aren't supposed to be a mighty man of God or a mighty woman of God. It's not like, well, I go to church and I'm going to do this good deed. No, go to the church and we want to send out into the community mighty men and women of God, who, when they're out there serving tables, when they're out there cleaning the park. I was talking to the lady who runs Caltrans. She's high up in Caltrans. I don't know exactly her title. But I said to her, you know what? There's a stretch of freeway. Every time I go to the airport, I see this trash right by the 163 and 5. Can we clean that up for you? She says, I'll give you a whole stretch of highway to clean up if you want. Not for real. And this is what she said to me. We'll put a sign that says, didn't care about a rock church or something like that. I said, give us a whole stretch. Would y'all want to do that? I mean, didn't you? How many of y'all ever always wanted to walk on the freeway to yell, pick up gravel? I always wanted to do that. So say, just give us this like whole mile right here, right by the five. But the point is that we want you to be a woman of God, because guess what's going to happen? You're going to be out there cleaning the trash, and there's going to be homeless people laying under the bridge. If you haven't noticed, when you drive down the freeway, look under the bridges. People live there. If you haven't noticed, you drive right by them all the time. They sleep under the bridge. Why? Shelter. You need to be a mighty man of God. You're not just picking up trash. If you're going to minister to the homeless, we're not just asking you to go to eat the peanuts and play chickens. We want you to be a mighty man of God, a mighty woman of God, just like Peter. So Peter preaches this sermon, and he preaches a sermon, and these people get mad. Turn to chapter 7, verse 54. He preaches a sermon against them, and he says, look, you guys are criticizing me because I love Jesus, and he's a mighty man of God, and he preaches a sermon. I can't get into the sermon because it's pretty long. You can read it on your own, but here's what happens at the end of his sermon. It says, verse 54, chapter 7, when they heard these things, they were enraged. They grinded their teeth. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And when they cast him out of the city, they stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul, who really is the Apostle Paul. He had his name changed. Will have his name changed in this book. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord, receive my spirit. Falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. What has all this got to do with you? He is the first martyr in the Bible. We need people from this church, North County as well, which is part of our church. We need people to be like Stephen. Say, Lord, I want to serve. And you know what? I want to serve over here, but I'm going to be a mighty man of God. I want to serve over here. I'm going to be a mighty woman of God. And when I have the opportunity, I'm going to talk about Jesus with power. Okay, three things in your notes. We're going to look at this. Three things. Number one, we need men and women full of the Holy Spirit, His grace, His power, His wisdom. This is what Stephen was. Stephen's over here learning the Bible, walking with God, full of the Holy Spirit, just doing his thing faithfully, and they say, Stephen, we want you now to serve in this official, non-official capacity. And Stephen says, I'm ready. Everyone say, I'm ready. Some of y'all not ready. In other words, you're hesitant, or some people say, Lord, I want to go, and you're not ready, and the devil beats you up. You got to get ready. What does that mean? You got to be reading the Bible on your own. You got to go to a small group. You got to come to church more faithfully. Don't come every other third week. We got all kind of classes you could be taking. You need to be reading the Bible every single day, praying every single day. So when your number is called, by the way, so your number is called. Because God has need of you. When Jesus went in on Palm Sunday, he says, I want you to go into the town. There's going to be a donkey by this guy's house. And just untie the donkey and bring the donkey back to me. And he says, well, what if the guy says something to me? He says, by the way, if the guy says something to you, tell him the Lord has need of the donkey. Everyone raise your hand. Say, I'm the donkey.
Hee-haw!
You're a donkey. Can I get an amen? There's a whole lot of names for that, but you can take any which name you want, and God says, I have need of you. God has need of you. But you need him first. He can't use you if you don't have this Holy Spirit. We don't need nice people.
Amen.
There's nice people in jail. Really? Not for real. There's really nice people in jail. They did something they shouldn't have done, but there's really nice people in jail. We don't need nice people. We don't need smart people. Okay? We need people who've been with Jesus. Now, we want them also to be a little smart with that experience. But if you just got smarts, if you just got a pretty smile, if you just got hair extensions, that don't do us any good. God doesn't look as the world looks. He doesn't see as the world sees. Man looks at the outward, God looks at the heart. The person you least expect. God uses fools to confound the wise. How many fools we got in here? Oh, yeah, I know you're a fool. That's right. Come on, fool. Number two, we need men and women with supernatural fruit in their life. This is something that you should want. Everyone say I. I know you're trying to write supernatural, but you should want evidence that the Holy Spirit is working through you. Don't answer this, just think about it. When was the last time you saw a miracle right in front of your eyes? That God did something in your life. You said, that was God. Because if God is in your life, he's working. And you should see it. And you should be encouraged by it. He should be answering your prayers. He should be encouraging people, transforming people right before your eyes, transforming you, changing the way you think, the way you feel. That's evidence that God is in you. Just because you feel something, it ain't about feeling. Sometimes you will feel nothing. That's going to be test your faith. Do you follow God anyway? Some of y'all right now, you're spiritually dry. Some of y'all are on a fast, and you're like, I don't feel nothing. It wasn't about the feeling. It was about surrendering. It was about obedience. Has this fast for me been like the first one? Nope. Very different. It ain't about the feeling. It's about, Lord, I'm being obedient. But trust me, something's going to happen. It's just going to be, it may be ba-boom. It may be pop. But you're going to know it's God. Can I get an amen? And you need to be looking for it. I mean, you need to get up every day looking for stuff. Okay, God, what are we going to do today? Okay? What you going to do? He's going to be like, wait till you see. Number three, you ain't going to like this one. Men and women who are persecution ready. God uses people who are persecution ready. What does that mean? The more you stand up for God, the more you will be persecuted. The more you actually accomplish for God, the more you will be persecuted. You ain't gonna even understand this next one. The more people you help, the more you will be persecuted. Amen. Ah, the more people you help, the more good you do, the more you will be persecuted. Why? Because the devil does not want you to do it. Matter of fact, if you go home today, if you get in your car today, some people, when they get excited, they march. So that's what this is, okay? So, if you decide in your heart, I'm gonna go home and I'm gonna become like Stephen, and I'm gonna find out what my gifts are, and I'm gonna get online and take a spiritual gifts test, and I wanna help people. If you say that with conviction, something negative will happen between now and the time you get home, or now and the time you start the plan. Why? The devil's gonna try to distract you. Happens all the time. That is all the more reason to fight. Matter of fact, that's a sign that you're doing the right thing, because the devil wouldn't waste his time if what you were getting ready to do didn't make a difference. He wouldn't waste his time. But look at what Stephen says, because Stephen suffered, was persecuted just like Jesus. They got false testimony against him, which is why they had a trial after he preached. They had people say lies about him just like Jesus. And look at what he says in verse 59. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. When Jesus was on the cross, let's read again, verse 59, chapter 7. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling down to his knees, he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In the same way when Jesus was being crucified, what did he say when he was on the cross? Lord, receive my spirit. When they were nailing him to the cross, what did he say? Lord, forgive them. If you could say, Lord Jesus, I want to serve. I don't want to just sit. I don't want to just come every now and then. I don't want to spectate. I don't want to watch the show because you think it's a show. I want to serve. I want to be like Stephen. I want to be part of turning the world upside down. If you attend this church or a church and the church is doing something, but all you're doing is attending, you're barely in the game. You got to get in the game. Oh, yeah, look at what we're doing. We ain't doing nothing. You're watching, okay? And you may be one of those people when you hear negative, oh, yeah, those people are this. And then when you hear positive, yeah, that's where I go to church. Because you got to make up your mind. You got feet on both sides of the fence. And you got barbed wire in the fence. Oh, hey. Hey, don't do that. You can say, Lord, I want to be in the game. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to surrender my life like Peter. I'm a complete surrender. Lord, whatever you want to do with me. First step is for all y'all to decide, do you really have Christ as your Savior? Are you really, as we surrendered to him, that's what lifting your hands in worship is. Are you really surrendered to him? Has he forgiven you of your sin? Has he cleansed your heart? Have you repented? Have you received him as your Savior? And then once you receive him as your Savior and he does something in your life, are you walking with him? But the first, you have to make sure the first step has been completed properly. Can you imagine a guy getting married and he says to his wife, right before they walk to the altar, the night before the wedding, he says, look, I know we're getting married tomorrow, but how many times can I cheat on you before you divorce me? That guy is not getting married. He's just going to a ceremony. Some of y'all might have said, Lord Jesus, forgive me my sin, but you never really gave it up. You had one foot over here in TJ at the club in your margarita. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I got saved, but you know, I meet people all the time, like every week. Not at the mall, but in and out or whatever. Hey, I go to Rock, and I start asking them questions. And, you know, I ain't been in 9 years. I'll be in a prison. This is hilarious. I'll be in prison. I was in a prison in a gym. They had like hundreds of inmates just living on triple bunks. And, hey, Pastor Miles, how you doing? In an orange jumpsuit. Yeah, I go to Rock. No, you don't. You're here. Really get saved. Really get saved. Really surrender. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we thank you so much for Stephen. We thank you that he was committed. We thank you that he was sold out, ready to die. Lord, we have an army, but we can have so much of a bigger one if we had people sell out to you. I'm asking you now, here and in North County and online, if you are saying, I want to sell out like Stephen. I want to give my entire life to Jesus. Pray this prayer. You might have got saved before, whatever, you maybe not. This is completely different. You want to make sure you are completely committed, because you want to be part of the solution of turning the world upside down like they did in Acts. You want to be part of something bigger than you, bigger than this individual church. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I surrender to you my entire life, my pain, my joy, my dreams and my nightmares, my visions, my aspirations. I surrender. Please, Jesus, forgive me. Transform my heart and my mind. I acknowledge you as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you, God. In a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand if you prayed that prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand if you're saying, Lord, I'm tired of having one foot on each side of the fence. God, I surrender. Whether you've been saved or not, you're saying, Lord, I surrender. Right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, here in Point Loma and in North County. I want you to stand to your feet if you're praying that right now. Just stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. We see you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else, stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good.